More Animaniacs references.
There's always room for more Pinky in the Brain.
Is there room for more Buttons and Mindy?
Sometimes.
As long as you leave Elmira out of it.
Yeah, now see, Elmira would have fit Mindy and Buttons somehow. Maybe replace Mindy with Elmira. Because then the dog, instead of trying to protect the girl, would be trying to escape for its life.
That's kind of depressing.
Well, just think of poor Furball. His whole purpose originally was to be Elmira's pet.
God.
And then he became Waspinator.
Is that a step up or step down?
It's at least a sideways move.
Okay. Lateral. Yeah. Damn.
Okay, now that Mickey and Ken are on the same wavelength.
That's frightening.
Not as bad as being on Fort Max's wavelength.
Like BotCon.
Ugh. 3, 2, 1.
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV. Hey, Mickey.
You chew whatever.
Paladin.
It was the best of shows. It was the blurst of shows.
Ken.
I don't want to live in this world anymore.
And Fort Max.
Bad boy.
All right, it's superhero time. With just the regular cast this week, how novel. I'm XV, there's Mickey and Fort Max and Paladin and Ken while he lasts. And I think just
while
about...
he laughs?
Lasts.
Lasts.
Until somebody kicks the cow.
I think just about everybody on the show is sick this week, too.
Yay!
Hooray!
Well, except for Fort Max, who's just, you know, the way he usually is.
No, I'm sick as well.
Yeah, well, who can tell the difference?
That was the fakest cough I've ever heard. I'm sick.
Hi. All right, so...
This week we'll find out if the internet does actually spread the disease.
Sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Listen. Look at 4chan.
Oh, ooh. You beat me to the joke.
No, there's a difference. 4chan is a sickness, not a disease.
So it's like a mental thing.
Just like the ponies.
Okay.
Yes, I will totally go there. I'm not afraid of them.
Neither am I. But.
So this week there was scans of GoBuster stuff, which I think we predicted at the end of last week's show.
Yep.
And amazingly, we were right.
How about that? Amazing.
It all looks awesome.
Yeah, but remember, Ghost Ager looked awesome too before it started.
Yes, I'm very aware of that. That's why I'm not eager to pre-order yet.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I kind of want to just step back a little bit from it because it's like, okay, this looks cool. It looks cool. So did Ghost Ager.
Yeah.
And Ghost Ager has forever ruined me getting excited about something early because... I got it because that's what I did, and
right, burn.
It's forever ruined that.
On the flip side of things, though, there's like O's and Forza, whose initial designs were not very attractive.
Yeah, and we got into it well enough.
Yeah.
Even if the show turns out to be shit, I really like the concepts they have for the Zords this year.
Yeah, it's different from what we've been getting, at, you know, the last several years.
And different is something that the Zords have desperately needed for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, there's only so many ways you can combine 5 boxes into a robot before it starts getting tired.
This time they're sticking to just 3 boxes combining into a robot for a little while.
And, you know, usually the 3 robot combination bugs me because it'll be very obviously unbalanced as to, you know, what robots in what proportion, but... Given that they're making red almost the entire body of the robot, it actually ends up looking better since everything else is being spread out evenly on that base.
Yeah, that worked really well in Die Ranger, so I'd like to see how they do it again.
Kidding about the toys, though.
Oh, yeah, that's going to suck when it comes to purchasing.
Yeah, they're being released one at a time.
Well, hello, more, go about, on, more about how fit, more about how many little parts there were to get broken and lost on the Die Ranger mech.
Go Andra doesn't really count. Even the first 3 engines in that were released as a single set.
And then the last set as well. But after that, paying $40 a pop for, you know, the arms, no.
There wasn't a full set of Seikuo?
Nope. Individuals.
The wings were all released singly.
Okay, I guess I didn't pay that much attention to it, the merchandising then. It was just like, hey, this show is awesome. You know? That was about the extent I paid attention. But I saved a lot of money in the process. But no, I don't really even think of the Die Ranger mecha as working on that pattern. It doesn't even feel like, okay, Red's most of this and everything else just fits on, because the end result looks like a proper combination Megazord.
Yeah, that's because it covers almost the entirety of Ryuseo.
Yeah, and I think that was a good approach to take.
So you hopefully it'll work again.
Maybe.
I'm curious to see where they go from here, though. What the extra Zords are going to be like down the line.
Yeah,
isn't the rumor that the next two were supposed to be either green and pink or black and pink?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing is that you have the Morph Embrace.
And what does it say over the kid's head?
That's right.
Anybody?
I'm not saying it.
You know, you're just not saying it.
Yeah, I don't really have that turned to a sound clip.
It's a trap.
It says it's Morphin time.
Hooray!
See, Ken knows how to do this. He made it sound so dull and uninteresting that I don't even want to turn it into a sound clip.
Well, anyway.
So it is like Go Sager, then.
It's more disappointment that nobody else picked up with it.
So I like that for GoBuster, apparently our Zords are going to be both animals and vehicles at the same time.
And headers.
Yeah. Head on and all that.
It's the strangest convergence of gimmicks.
I really, really need to see more of this.
And,
also got a little bit of Dino in there.
Yeah, I mean, you got robot partners. One of them at least turns into a vehicle for Red to ride on. Then they become a head thing for the giant robot, and then it all combines together somehow. It's kind of busy.
And that's just for the three main. And it's just for the three main Rangers there. I really want to see how they'll expand the Zord roster from this.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
And then
Mickey?
Is
your name Mickey Fort Max?
No.
What were you going to say, Mickey?
I already said it. I don't remember what it was now.
Well, I couldn't hear you over Paladin.
It wasn't important, I'm sure.
That's a switch, isn't it, Paladin? Can't hear somebody for you talking instead of can't hear you for Fort Max talking.
Tim Curry.
Okay, so what were you saying, Ken?
I don't know.
I don't even think you were saying anything. It was just
a joke.
I don't
think I was. You had me questioning that for a second there, though.
It's the medication.
Yeah, I think so.
And amazingly, I'm just like this naturally. I'm not on any pills.
That's debatable.
That I'm not on pills?
So, GoBuster is a team of three people, and they've got a monkey partner, and they've got vehicles that transform, and they're fighting a robotic enemy.
They're spies or something, apparently.
Are they intentionally trying to homage Filmation's GoBusters, or is it just going to happen by chance?
I've seen weirder things happen, so... I mean, I can't really call it either way.
Oh.
What?
One thing on the name, though. It's actually... Apparently, it's GoBusters. Like, the S is actually in the name, for once.
Yeah, it's in the katakana.
Yeah. Instead of, like, Gokaiger, it's just Gokaiger.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, because they don't usually put the S in there, so...
I don't think they ever put the S at the end of it.
Oh, that's what kind of stood out about it, because I think... Because
in Japanese, isn't plural supposed to be inferred from context?
Yeah, that's what struck me as odd about it, because I was calling it GoBuster on Twitter, and then I got corrected by, like, two or three different people. I was like, oh.
Yeah. That's why I just don't talk about stuff. If you don't talk about things, you can't be wrong.
No, that's true. That's why you do a podcast.
That's right. That's why I do a podcast where I'm in charge of all the editing. So if I'm wrong, that never happened. So the GoBusters costumes look pretty different.
I like them. Everyone else seems to hate them, but I think they look really cool and different.
Well, it seems like an evolution of where, like, Gokaiger is an evolution of the design from Shinkenger, and this is the evolution of the design from Gokaiger.
Kind
what
of.
What I'm seeing is a mix between Gokaiger's morphed suits and Geki Ranger's unmorphed uniforms.
I believe there's some...
fairly simple to me. I'm not sure if that's good or bad yet.
There's kind of a similarity to the Die Ranger costumes, too, I think.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, with the jackets.
Which, I mean, that's not bad either. Yeah, the high collar is really nice. Like, I want the jackets as actual jackets.
Well, they could do that.
Oh, they probably would.
I never know.
They probably will, just like they did with the Gokaiger clothing.
They probably will.
$400 a pop.
And even the biggest size probably will not fit our fat American asses.
Yeah.
Not sure how I feel about the sunglasses on the helmets, though.
It gives... it makes everybody immediately think of Jungle Fury.
Yes. Huh. But at least these guys don't morph with the sunglasses.
Actually, they do.
Actually, they do. But at least this goes with the aesthetic instead of, you know, just being randomly there.
Well, we'll see about that when it starts airing.
Yeah. That's true. Well, that's the thing about the mecha design, too. I mean, we need to see more of how it's actually engineered before we can start thinking about how it'll be expanded into later robots.
And apparently,
maybe they're just going to go full-on Geki Ranger with it, and the fourth member be one additional part, and the fifth member gets a whole new Zord.
The fourth member will be one additional part that replaces the third member.
What I'm thinking,
who needs
the
bitch?
One thing I think they might do, because apparently the rumor has been that it's going to be like Gohanger, where there'll be a fourth and fifth member at the same time, and I'm wondering if they might just add in a second mech then, or if they'll just have interchangeable parts for them.
See, I think Gohanger did that right by introducing four and five pretty quickly. Maybe a little too quickly, but Geki Ranger took way too long.
Yeah, the show was half over before they got the fourth guy.
Yeah.
And then before he even got a chance to sit down.
Time for Ken, who's much more interesting.
Bye, yeah.
Go away.
Go away. And apparently they're going to keep making Ranger keys.
A whole second year of Ranger keys. How about that?
Yeah, actually,
and Legends Mobirites.
Yeah,
that's actually already up for pre-order too.
It's not sold out yet.
I don't think so.
What are they asking for it?
I think it was 2,700 yen.
Is that all?
Right.
Yeah, hold on.
Are you sure you didn't like reverse a couple numbers there?
No, that was on AmiAmi's. Oh, here it is. It actually is still up. The Legend Sentai Henshin phone, Legend Mobile Rights, with the Aqua Red Key.
Because it's his.
Yep. 2,400 yen.
Huh.
What the hell?
Well, is it smaller?
I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't fold up.
Maybe it
breaks apart because it's gold plastic.
Or maybe it doesn't expand or something. I don't know. Or maybe just because it's a year-old toy, so they figure they have to discount it in order to sell it.
Well, but... the Legends Dino belts, they were like smaller and less involved, weren't they? I mean,
yeah, but this
has... Legends Zeronos belt was exactly the same toy as the deluxe one. They just removed a light.
Yeah, because this says requires two AA batteries, so I imagine it's about the same size. It includes 68 new sounds for a total of approximately 148 voice commands.
Wait, it requires AA batteries? I'm pretty sure my Mobirite took AAAs.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
What?
Exactly.
True. The Mobirite does take AAAs, because I had to go out and buy AAAs, because
nothing uses AAA batteries anymore.
Yeah.
That is
so
true.
It's definitely a different mold, at least.
Or at least the electronics box is different.
Well, it's cheap enough anyway.
That's really
Opera Red Key, so yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it's, you know, like $35 like that, and it has all the original sounds and new sounds, maybe I will actually buy one of these.
What was it, like 68 new sounds in it?
64, I think he said?
68.
Okay. I mean, how many sounds is it in the original Moby Raids?
More than I can remember.
Yeah, I can't remember, honestly. But, yeah, I don't know. I never really counted.
Yeah, that's really... I will be very... When is this supposed to come out? February?
March.
I'll be interested to wait around and see when somebody gets that and compares it to the original just to see what exactly is going on with that. Because the more we talk about it, the more curious the whole thing seems.
Yeah. Well, they're doing new Ranger key sets, so they have Sun Vulcan, Gal Ranger, and Go Busters coming out. So the Go Buster sounds will be in it.
Yeah. That's really weird.
It is a little bit.
I'd be surprised there's not some Space Sheriff
sound. I was going to say, there's probably going to be a Gavin sound in there, too.
Or maybe some more Kamen Rider sounds, because we have something else coming up.
Maybe they'll finally put out the O's key.
I've been expecting the O's key to be like, you know, a movie theater premium. You know, or like magazine mail away. You know, it seems like one of those kind of things.
It's really surprising it didn't come out.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah, there's
now if they're going to keep doing them.
Yeah, there's a whole year still to do it.
Because they're going to let Gokaiju die that quickly.
I sure hope not.
It doesn't seem that way either.
See, from now on, every year, Gokaiju and Deno need to have a team-up movie.
And I keep trying to segue into the movie, but...
Well, we're aware of that, and we're just kind of like, ah, screw you.
Yeah, you new here or what?
Yeah, the only place we segue is right off the cliff.
We only need to have a stock sound effect for that.
Just wait, Forza will give it to us.
Like a battery-powered engine, like, slowly fading away, then an explosion?
No, I mean, well, whenever the Segway switch comes out.
Yeah, but the Segway switch is just called wheel.
Yeah, but we know what it really means.
But it still won't be good for sound effects.
I guess.
But, you know, Climax Heroes Forza came out just recently, and there's sound effect rips from that, so I can do all kinds of fun stuff with that.
What is it? I think it has, like, the first 20 switches or something in it.
And the transformation sounds for, like, in Fire States.
Ooh.
Yeah, Fire States actually sounds pretty cool when it's not buried under, like, you know, all the other sounds in the TV show.
Vocal songs and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And, you know, people talking because they're stupid.
The Forza cast members?
Yeah, them too. Okay, fine, so the movie thing.
Yes, Kamen Rider versus Super Sentai Superhero Taizen, scheduled for sometime in next year, is apparently mostly going to be Decade and Gokaiger.
And I never thought we'd actually see Masahiro Inoue on screen as Decade again.
Are we sure we're going to?
Yes.
Apparently he's cast as Decade.
Because it'd be real funny if they did, like, a Clash of the Red Rangers thing. With,
he couldn't breathe the air there.
Or you mean Let's Go Kamen Riders?
And he arrives on a subway.
Oh, God. I don't think that's...
Now, wouldn't that be the Denliner, then?
It'd be just like in Clash of the Red Ranger, where it's, but, like, yeah, the knockoff Denliner.
Confirmed is, Decade, Gokai Red, original Naomi, and owner, because he has nothing else to do.
Neither does...
Also Momotaros.
Of course,
right.
Momotaros.
Well, those are the three who've been in every single Deno production since it started. Because, well, I mean, Momotaros' voice actor is a voice actor, and he can be pretty much everywhere. And yeah, the other two really don't have anything to do except for underwear modeling and being on Sasuke Ultimate Ninja.
Please tell me owner's not the underwear model.
I'd rather not say.
Yeah.
Steps right into the...
They should just give owner the Deno belt.
Oh, God, please.
Well, he's already used a Dengasher once. He doesn't need the belt, he's owner.
He doesn't
we need,
the
is
belt,
a scene
but...
with owner and Kogami.
Well, yes, yeah, that's what happens. I thought during Let's Go, but apparently, you know, nobody producing the movie thought that would be a good idea. Hmm. Oh, well.
You have Forza team up with Mega Ranger.
Yeah, no, I think we can do without that, considering what Kenta looks like these days.
Actually, that's a good point. Never mind. It seemed like a good idea until we saw that episode.
Didn't it, though? But yeah, Gokaiger versus Decade. That's just, like...
the nerdiest thing in the history of ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, will there be any fanwag sequences in that movie?
Maybe a couple.
Okay. You think? Just a few?
It's going to be like a 90 minutes of just, like, roll calls and morphing and attacks, and then the credits will roll.
Well, I guess that's
no,
probably,
that's Let's Go Kamen Rider.
That's probably why they're having it focused on the Gokaigers and Decade, because they can turn into other Rangers and Riders.
Which does beg the question, what would the Gokaigers' final form ride be?
Pirate ship?
Well, I mean, that's the problem, because you would need to have, like, five things that work together, so it would either be just them turning into the Megazord, which would be, you know, stupid and boring, or...
which is probably what it will be.
They should turn them to the Megazord at human scale.
Well, that would just be kind of weird.
They turn into giant ranger keys.
Aren't final form rides kind of weird anyway?
Some of them are, like Kiva era, which has absolutely nothing to do with Kiva. At least Blade
well,
Blade...
well, neither did Decade's World of Kiva.
Well, no. But, you know, like, Blade Blade made sense.
And the Five Blaster made sense.
And Kuga Gorum.
Yeah. Actually...
even if Kuga Gorum was only useful when it got probed.
Well,
Agito's well, made sense.
Kuga
actually,
Gorum...
yeah. Kiva's is the only one that didn't make any freaking sense.
And Kuga Gorum worked out pretty well until he died in the movie.
Yeah. Trying but, to do yeah. a kamikaze attack and... killing himself.
Well, that's Yusuke.
he's,
you know,
no, it's pronounced useless.
He's the Fort Max of Decade, so.
So which of us has to stick the sword up his ass?
Not it.
Not it.
Not it.
Too late.
You last.
By like 30 seconds, actually.
I know.
It's like a long gap, and like, not it.
Well, he had to take time to consider whether he wanted to be it or not.
I don't think that takes any time for consideration.
So let's see, we were talking about something, right?
Let's talk about the new Lantern Zord toy.
What's not?
Well, yeah, this is already a train wreck. Let's bring up a bigger train wreck. Samurai.
New toys.
Bandai of America has finally turn the Samurai toy line into a Bandai of America toy line. The Lantern Zord turns into a spider.
Which
spider with six legs.
The Lantern turns into a stag beetle that they're calling a spider. What?
And apparently it comes with Super Mega Gold Ranger?
Because that makes sense.
Using the power of the Ultra Mega Force.
Using the power of the Sir not appearing in this film.
Well, they can do pretty much anything they want with, you know, new footage.
Yeah.
And best thing about
this... require them to use new footage.
The best about this piece of crap toy is that it's like, what, 4 inches tall?
yeah, something like that.
So it's not even to scale with the Megazords?
Nope.
Nope.
But this one that probably means, can't
that,
combine...
That means you can't slap it on the other... limbs on him to form his actual transformed mode in the show. So you can't really do anything with it.
Yeah, so like he said, they kind of Bandai of America'd it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jungle Fury all over again.
Well, what would be worse, this or Dragonzording it?
Not being there at all?
Right.
I'd say this. I'd be fine with not having a Lantern Zord.
Yeah, Lantern serves no purpose anyway.
Yeah,
aside
I mean,
from a few cheap laughs, and that won't exist in Samurai.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because if the Clash of the Red Rangers is anything to go by, the Lantern's not going to be anything but a weapon anyway. No personality. Not that there's any in Samurai to start with. Just to head that one off before I knew where it was
glad
going.
You finished your own joke, because...
Well, I can't let Paladin have all the fun.
Well, on the plus side for the Samurai toy line, there's been new sightings of roleplay weapons.
Yeah, the Black Box Morpher, and that is its actual name.
That's almost as frightening.
They were corrupt all the info when the show crashes.
Sword and the spin sword.
Mickey, would you like to finish your statement?
It records all the info when the show crashes.
Yeah. When it crashes?
So it started 20 episodes ago?
Yeah.
And the water shooting water arrow.
Actually somewhat impressed that they actually thought to engineer the black box Morpher 2 attached to the sword like it's supposed to.
Both swords,
actually.
Both swords. That's actually, I'm almost moderately impressed.
Of course, on the Mega Blade, it looks even more tacked on than it does on the Spin Sword, but...
Well, you're holding the Mega Blade upside down to pilot the Zord when it's attached, right?
That's a good point, yeah. Of course, that's not how it's shown in the instructions, so...
But on the show, when they use it, it would be black box up.
Presumably, yeah.
I'm really surprised that Bandai...
Well, in Shinken, you're not that it'll matter because they
right.
used different footage. But they flipped it down when it was... Because they used the swords down to pilot them in Shinken, you're also.
I'm just really surprised and impressed that Bandai planned this far ahead for the roleplay weapons.
I don't think they did.
Well, they put slots on these things that match.
I think it's more a matter of, okay, we've got these spaces to fit this, so make the toy work with both of them.
That's possible, too.
Because, you know, it is
They're
Bandai.
They're pulling it all out of their ass.
On the other hand, they've actually improved on the water arrow toy. As the original did absolutely nothing, and this one at least squirts water.
And I assume that the Power Rangers one is probably bigger.
It might be a little bit, actually.
Yeah, because the Shinkenger one was tiny.
It and the wood spear in a set together. That was a great idea.
Yeah, the wood spear.
Oh, and the belt buckle appears to be coming out somehow. I don't know if it's coming with the black box Morpher by itself.
Oh, so it comes with the black package. Box.
It does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are out and about now at, like, Walmart, so... That's a thing to look for, maybe. Probably not.
That implies Walmart restocks.
Well, the one here actually was keeping up with Samurai pretty well once they actually began carrying it, which happened like, you know, 8 months into the line.
When they saw it wasn't a bomb of a toy line?
Yeah.
Literally, like, Samurai stuff at my Walmart, they came out like basically on time, but they didn't, they just kind of just threw it on the aisle, just anywhere.
Yeah.
They Kmarted it?
Yeah, that's pretty much Walmart in a nutshell.
And surprisingly, the Kmart in town here was the first place locally to have Power Ranger stuff, and they had, like, you know, current stuff.
In fact, actually, Kmart's the only place that I've seen the Squid Zord.
I still haven't seen one of those, and it's the Octo.
Did you finally get it?
Yeah.
Isn't it disappointing?
Yes.
Isn't it very samurai?
More so than the other Zord vehicles.
The Squid Zord just doesn't really work.
That sounds like Samurai in a nutshell.
I have not seen an Octozord in person, so I
yeah,
and really...
Toys R Us hasn't carried them. Only time I saw one was when I was up at the Kmart up in Tulsa while I was visiting my grandmother.
Did she give you another tour while you were there?
Your grandmother lives in a Kmart?
Well, that would explain why she has tours to hand out.
Kmart is a big box store.
You know, I started watching what TV Nihon has subbed of Die Ranger again. Finally got to the part where Tor was introduced into it, and I have to say I like our Tor better than Daimugen, because at least our Tor doesn't talk.
Oh God.
Talks.
Yes.
Talks.
He's also played by Yellow
Owl.
What is Yellow was?
Owl.
Yellow Owl, yes.
You know, from Jetman. Yes.
Damn.
Well, remember, Die Ranger was only 2 years after Jetman, so...
Yeah, I guess he needed the work by that point.
Probably
so. Actually, he was... I believe he wasn't actually the original guy, but after a few episodes, the original guy couldn't do it anymore.
Are you talking about Yellow Owl or...
Yeah, well, the original guy wasn't Yellow Owl.
No, that's why I'm asking, though. Are you talking about Yellow Owl got replaced, or
no,
the first cameo got replaced?
Tor got replaced.
But either way, our Tor doesn't talk, and I think that's better.
That's just one less thing for Tor to do.
Not that he does much in the first place.
Except get flipped over on his back.
Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up.
Well, funny enough, that's almost exactly what he says when he gets flipped over on his back in Die Ranger. Okay, so I think that's all the news to talk about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Given that
nice
we're
break from last week.
Oh, yeah, I would agree, since the news last week ran like an hour all by itself. Damn Tomashii nations. Okay, so...
Especially since probably half of that stuff isn't going to come out anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, like last year.
Like every year. I'm still looking for that Robot Tomashii Gundam Unit 1.
Yeah, they I still want that Escaflowne. It's a tough world.
Gundam Unit from 08 MST?
No, from 83.
Oh!
I think it was the full Vernian, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So... Yeah. Kind of sucks. I bet you that Chogokin Daijujin won't be out anytime soon either. Just like, hey, look at all this cool stuff that we could potentially make at some point, but we're not going to.
It will be out after Sun Vulcan Robo.
I'm still waiting for Figure Arts XL bike form.
I'm still waiting for Escaflowne, like I said.
Oh, yes, that.
And some way or another, there needs to be a toy of XL Turbular.
No.
No?
Yes. Well, no. If they put out the bike form, all you have to do is get the Turbular, and then...
And then kit bash the regular torso onto it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be a little bit more of a problem.
Yeah, I guess it would.
But still, that was the coolest fight sequence.
It was.
But, you know, Double could do no wrong, so... And I say that with, like, no, like, sarcasm or anything. Double just could not do anything wrong.
Well, it did do Heaven's Tornado.
But that was hilarious.
Yeah, Heaven's Tornado was great.
You know, Phil's blowing off fights because he's got to learn the secret of Heaven's Tornado. It was a really good demonstration of how Philip had no concept of, like, you know, real-world priorities.
I will give that. I just couldn't stand the douchebag they were dealing with in those episodes.
Well, yeah, but that makes sense because they're street dancers.
Yeah, they're all douchebags.
They were probably from Japanese Texas, even.
Oh, God.
No, that's not exactly like Space Australia.
Go Space Broncos.
Okay, on that note, let's go to the weekly shows. What's up first? Hey, guess what? There was no samurai this week.
Hooray!
Only we'll get a Christmas special in a couple weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. I can only imagine what... I don't even want to. I
like yeah, no, you don't want to.
Yeah. The title is Christmas Together, Friends Forever.
Well, remember the...
That's about right.
Remember the Christmas specials from Season 3 in Zio?
Oh, God.
Now think of that, but with a samurai cast doing the roles.
Yeah, yeah. But samurai doesn't have a stand-in for Alpha to kidnap children.
That actually... We need to do another episode of Die Ranger, because remember the cactus monster from Season 2?
No.
Oh. No.
You don't remember the cat from the Wild West episodes?
Oh.
I just remember the Wild West parts.
There was a cactus monster at the end, and he's very troubling in Die Ranger.
Troubling?
Yeah.
When you say troubling.
Apparently he really, really likes little girls.
Oh, that kind of troubling.
Oh, yeah.
How could you?
But anyway.
Oh, did he tell them their mothers are at the bus station?
He turns them into dolls.
Yeah, he's not a dick, he's a pedophile. And while I'm not saying one doesn't maybe go with the other, but, you know.
Just specifically.
Yeah, we should get off that topic.
Yes, please.
So anyhow, what's up first?
Forza.
Fire!
Okay, Ken?
Oh.
I thought Paladin was doing Forza this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I can
if you want.
I gotta be an asshole about it, though.
I don't think you want me doing it this week.
I really don't
do that voice.
I kind of don't want you doing it any week, but, you know, most of the time nobody else is willing to.
I'm willing to.
But you don't like Forza. Maybe that's why you're willing to, though.
Not entirely opposed to it.
It's not like it's Ghost Ager.
Yeah.
Well, any
O's or Double or Gokaiger or Shinkenger or probably
well,
a couple others I could name.
Forza is plain yogurt. Ghost Ager is yogurt with chunks of shit at the bottom you have to stir up.
But here's the
neither
thing.
Neither are very appealing, but one is much worse.
One is not offensive.
Yeah.
Yogurt is pretty offensive to me just on its own, I have to say.
Okay, bad example.
It's better if it's frozen.
No, because then it's just like, you expect it to be like ice cream and then it's not, and then you're just mad. It's like
that's
the...
only if you read the box. It's only
like...
if you read the box wrong, because you picked it out of the frozen section. Of course it was ice cream. Oh, wait. No, we need to return this. Now because you took it out of the store, now we have to damage it out.
It's like the story Mickey was relating several months back about expecting to drink a glass of soda, but it's actually milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that feeling. Yeah, I understand what you mean now.
Oh, sure, you understand that, but you and Mickey again on the same wavelength. Good job.
Well, it's more like if you're expecting to drink one thing, but you drink something else.
But it seemed to me like... It seemed to me like the difference between soda and milk was supposed to be like a specific kind of specific.
No, it's just the principle of it. It wasn't those particular liquids, just anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
The apple juice.
I like apple juice.
I hate apple
but not juice. If you're expecting soda.
No, I think I'd be okay with apple juice in place of soda. Unless it was apple soda, and that's just kind of gross anyway.
Ew.
Okay, Forza. Paladin, go faster before they start talking.
Okay. After the required flashback from last week, they start off by bolting the locker to the wall this time, which is probably the smartest thing they've done in the show so far.
Yeah.
And even despite joining the Kamen Rider Club, Tomoko is still incredibly creepy.
Her black cloud came back.
Yeah.
Are we certain that she just, like, doesn't bathe or something?
I'm not ruling it out, no.
Well, remember, she did slap mud on her face that one episode.
Well, that's just because she didn't have her makeup handy.
Oh, yeah, I guess. That's what she wants you to think.
But, you know, instead of looking gothy, she ended up looking like a football player. I don't really think that's what she was going for.
Oh.
Well, you never can tell. But meanwhile, there's a swarm of angry mothers outside the school.
This is a setup for a
okay.
joke, right?
That makes a lot more sense, because at first I thought a whole bunch of whores were swarming to the school principal.
Wait, isn't that what he just said?
No, that's your mother.
How much is a nickel in yen, anyway?
Like 3.5.
Hold on 1 second. I'll be with you back in a second. Go ahead.
Okay, all the parents are complaining about the various monster attacks at their school, which I guess they have a right to complain about.
It only took them 4 months.
That's what?
I'm surprised they had any clue at all anything was going on.
Well, you know, their kids are probably coming home like, hey, guess what? A monster just rampaged through the science building.
No, they're not. Kids never tell their parents what happened at school that day.
Okay, a nickel in yen is 3.89.
I was close when I said 3.5.
Let's round up the 4 yen and leave it at that.
I 4 yen'd your mom?
Sure.
I 4chan'd your mom.
She
oh, God.
Died.
She wished she died.
All right, so whores on the school ground.
And then that's offset when this incredible douchebag drives up in a Porsche.
Garen, I mean...
Tachibana! Oh, wait, no.
Hayami.
Yeah, whatever.
All the blue.
Principal.
Wait, what, Fort Max? What'd you say,
he
Fort
said
Max?
Abba Blue.
I don't think so.
Think so, no.
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 His hair is too amazing to be Abba Blue.
Yeah, that's not Abare Blue.
Abare Blue doesn't have a tendency to get, like, easily swayed into turning and attacking his friends, like, every other week.
Tachibana.
Yeah.
Oh, Blade.
Blade was... difference? Go ahead. No, it doesn't matter. Just go.
Okay, Principal Douchebag gives a speech that pacifies the mothers somehow, and Tomoko recognizes some of the quotes from the speech as things that were said by the Scorpion Zodiar when he offered her a switch.
Now, you know, the mothers were only pacified because of not Tachibana's luxurious hair.
And probably the car, too.
And Mr. Tsunoda also.
It should be an immediate tip-off that this guy is evil, because no school principal could afford a car like that.
That's right.
Especially in Japan.
Yeah, that's an expensive import car in Japan.
One of the students who had previously become the Orion Zodiac
Mira.
From back before. Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. Doesn't matter. Moving on.
He was Orion.
Orion's human host is coming back to school, and Gentaro just wants to welcome him back and befriend the shit out of him again.
Speaking of which,
blowing
I kinda...
him up in space wasn't enough.
I kind of miss those guys behind the school that Gentaro befriended the first few episodes.
Yeah, I was so hoping that would be a running gag.
Maybe they'll show up later in the story arc.
This return to... whatever this guy's name was, Orion?
Yeah.
Mira.
Yeah, that's this is the part that matters.
Yeah. This is the whole point of this episode that I thought was interesting and made me actually like this episode, is they're revisiting a previous monster.
Yeah, I never thought they... See, I thought they would just kind of leave these guys, you know...
Yeah, you'd never see them again, basically. Like they do in all Tokyo shows. But
right.
No, they're actually showing consequences of using a switch. And
well, it does kind of retroactively justify why he was acting crazy, because you see afterwards he is acting crazy without the switch. So it shows that it has some psychological effect on them, rather than them all just being douchebags.
Like a
it does
diamond
call
race.
Into question the whole mechanics of the switch, though, because does the same person just become the same Zodiac with a different switch?
That's a good question.
Maybe they'll address that later in the story arc, too.
Might find out next week.
I would tend to think that there are specific switches attuned to certain, well, in this case, star patterns, you know, to make particular Zodiacs.
Yeah.
Not that the prop of the switch would give any indication of that. Moving right along, Paladin.
Okay, Jake says they should just leave Orion guy alone, and when Jake has the best idea in an episode, it's usually not a good sign. Especially since the others all agree with his opinion.
Or me,
starting to think they spent too much time in zero gravity.
It's the hair.
Well, Podochokin ends up ruining his guitar.
Yeah, that was kind of...
Because the food droids can be dicks, too.
Well, how hard can it be to get some new guitar strings?
That can be pretty expensive, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when he got that. I was like, oh, God. And Yuki just finds this hilarious. While Jake's probably thinking, oh, God, how much is this going to cost me?
Well, they're Japanese school students. They don't have to worry about real money.
Oh, sure.
That's what they have absent off-screen parents for.
Either that, or he could just buy some online from some U.S. store.
So, moving on.
Yeah.
Gentaro meets up with Orion's girlfriend and mugs for some photos, which he does in pretty much every episode, too. We find that Orion's working as an assistant in a photography shop for some reason, because...
That's his family
that's
shop.
His home. His parents run the shop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I skipped that part, then.
No, it's okay, you just didn't understand it.
This is when Gintaro says that he wants to give Orion a big dose of him.
Morning, noon, and night.
Yeah, he says that many times.
He really wants to fill him up full of himself.
Morning, noon, and night.
That means exactly what it sounds like.
And I'm just reminded of the manager at Walmart that said he wanted to rub some of his good stuff off on us. Which is exactly as creepy as it sounds.
I think everyone around Gintaro understands that this is not what he should be saying, but they just don't tell him.
It might suck at first, but it'll definitely be good for you.
This is going to tickle
only hurt
a bit.
For a moment.
Just lie back and think of England.
This is going to tickle a bit. Anyway, Orion starts hallucinating a Zodiac switch in the photography lab.
The first sign that something's really not right with him.
Yeah.
Well, second, technically. First was actually becoming a Zodiart.
This week on a very special Forze.
Well, give it a minute.
So he panics and runs outside, which turns out to be the worst possible thing he could do because, hey, there's Scorpion.
It's always the worst possible thing you could do.
Uh-huh.
Because outside your home, there's just all kinds of bad things waiting to get you. You're only safe if you stay inside in your room locked under your bed.
So Scorpion Zodiart says, hey, want some candy?
My white van's back here.
And that point is made even worse when he has to take off his clothes to fight Forze. And Forze is able to fight off Scorpio using the Goldimarg switch.
Very nice.
It makes squeaky noises.
It should. It really. I was thinking that too. It looks like
there's a video editing project in.
Well, speaking of video editing projects, I was thinking I should try to get an MP3 of the 3-2-1
contact. The switch combination he also uses to fight off Scorpio. First fire, then Gatling and launcher.
I could swear
he's actually able to use launcher without the radar.
He's used launcher without the radar before. But no, I was thinking I should get...
Yeah.
I was thinking I should get the MP3 of the theme to 3-2-1 contact, you know.
Yes.
And superimpose clips of Forze fighting with that, starting with
Man,
the...
that theme song would get stuck on my head for, like, days at a time, randomly.
Yeah.
Well, it is the reason everything happens.
But, you know, with them using the 3-2-1 effect for the transformation this episode again, it just seems like it would fit.
Have they not been using that effect recently?
This is only the second time they've used it.
Like, they really made up for that by doing it twice in the episode.
They used
that last episode you liked.
Yeah. You know, with the dead whore on the ground.
Yeah, I like that episode.
Everything's better with dead whores.
So great.
Forze's enjoyable, okay, so, just for the wrong reasons.
So Forze turns into a big tomato and shoots people.
And Scorpion counters the attack with the foot soldiers for this season, Dustards.
So let's just call them Tards for short.
Well, actually,
how can you distinguish them from Gentaro?
Oh God, hold on.
Well, for one, they don't have its magnificent hair.
Yeah, I was about to bring up that Urban Dictionary thing. Apparently, dustard is a slang term for people who get high off of computer dusting. You know, the thing.
It's an actual term.
Yes.
Yes.
A person who excessively uses computer duster to get high.
But what if you don't do it excessively? What if you just do it occasionally?
Then you're a dust spaz. You're a dust spaz then.
Oh, okay. A dust overrun?
That's right. Okay, so the Tards show up and...
And you know what's bad? We're probably going to this is probably going to be through the entire series because they're also in the movie. They're also in the movie. So they're fighting with the Masquerade Dopants. So
basically...
Seems like a completely plausible name for a
doesn't
character.
Doesn't it, though?
So basically, what we're saying is that the entire rest of Forze is full of Tards.
Yep.
Just checking.
Tards everywhere.
And not just the Kamen Rider Club.
Okay, so...
So fantastic.
So the fight ends, and there's a strange conversation between Principal Douchebag and Teacher Bitch.
She seems very enamored with him.
It's the hair.
The hair.
Or the coat, maybe.
Besides, everybody loves Garen. Like, that could be a new Japanese sitcom. Everybody loves Garen.
Space Garen.
No, not Space Garen. Original Garen.
Oh.
Extra crispy.
The Garen double down.
So back to the Tards. The Kamen Rider Club decides the best way to convince Orion to come back to school is to hold a play in the park highlighting the best things about school.
Oh, Kingo, how you have fallen.
Seriously.
Although he does eventually say, this shit.
And rightly so.
And that's why he's still the smartest member of the Kamen Rider Club.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that play was kind of hard to watch.
It was very... It's almost as hard to watch as Shun trying to cry.
It reminded me a lot of a school play.
Well,
I guess they were true to form then.
Hmm. Okay, so...
Orion's natural instinct is to run the hell away from them. But then the Dust Guard show back up again.
Along with Miss Sonoda.
Right. They conveniently drop enough smoke bombs to allow Forze to transform without anyone noticing, which doesn't make that much sense because he doesn't really care that much about secret identities.
Right.
Much like Tutaro.
Everybody else cares about the secret identity more than Gintaro does.
Yeah.
Well, with Eiji, it didn't matter because nobody knew who Oz was to start with anyway.
Wait, who are you?
Call for Oz. Who? 45 episodes in.
Yeah.
What's an Oz?
Okay, Foz takes on Elec States to fight off the Dustards, and then uses the switch they teased at the very beginning of the episode, number 24, water.
Which puts a big spigot on his leg.
Yeah.
He has about the reaction that everybody else watching probably does. Like, what the hell is this?
And then he uses it magnificently.
The only problem, though, is that they kind of skip the obvious combination with that, with, you know...
Water and electricity.
Uh-huh.
Kamen Rider toaster.
Yeah, when the tar started rushing him, I was totally expecting him to stab Billy into the pools of water and electrocute them all.
That would have been magnificent, too.
Instead, Forz just raises his leg to spray liquid on them.
You had that one planned for a little while, didn't you, Paladin?
No, I just thought of it while I was watching.
So, does anyone else notice how Forza's switches seem to alternate between super cartoony and, like, you know, standard tech cool-looking stuff? But they can't make up their mind what style he's supposed to be in.
I think this is when Kingo's dad's food was starting to run out.
Or the oxygen was starting to run a little thin.
Yeah. Started to see things in really weird ways.
But no, it's kind of like, you know, the switch concept that they can't figure out a serious way to do. That's when you get the cartoony style ones, like the water faucet on the ankle.
You can tell by the music.
I just kind of wish that they can make up their mind what style they wanted Forze to be in.
Well, we only got 16 of them left, so...
Until we get, like, you know, the Generation 2 switches or whatever. There will be more.
The super form, probably.
Anyway, Orion basically runs up to the battle and tries to inhale the remains of the Dustards.
Yeah, I was expecting him to start trying to snort those things.
Because he's addicted to the power cosmic.
Actually, had him on his hands, he might have gone off and done that anyway.
That's a shame, because once you get glitter on your hands, it never comes off.
Yeah, really.
People who send greeting cards full of glitter, they deserve to burn in hell.
Or even if it's the kind where there's glitter, like, just coating the outside.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff rubs off just as easily. Because apparently even glue cannot hold glitter on as well as, you know, human skin. Human skin is the ultimate glitter adhesive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It holds it like a f***ing magnet.
How the f*** do they work?
They're powered by glitter.
So is that how magnet states will work? It'll just be glittery?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so Mira's addicted to the power cosmic.
And despite Gintaro and everyone else trying to encourage him to stay away from the Zodiard switches and that they can help him, it all proves to amount to absolutely nothing because, spoiler alert, the female teacher is Scorpio Zodiard.
Which I called, 10 weeks ago?
They tried really hard for this entire episode to make you think it was Hayami.
And I do give them credit for that much, at least.
Yeah.
But no, it was much too late to do anything like that. They would have needed to introduce Principal 4 weeks ago to make that even a credible effort.
Yeah. They could... Oh, I guess guest stars and stuff like that, but... I don't know if he's going to be sticking around longer than this.
Probably
well,
not.
If he's the principal, I'm sure he'll be, you know, recurring at least.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the other head Zodiacs.
He's probably going to be the next general after Scorpio gets defeated shortly.
Yeah, we get the name of the generals, actually, in the preview, which is fairly predictable. The horoscopes.
Horoscopes.
Yes, thank you. Maybe you like that. But, yes, I guess the hot teacher won't be around for much longer.
No, she probably will be. She just, you know, won't be Scorpio anymore.
We'll have
until they need to use Scorpio again.
Yeah.
The suspenders guy will just drag her corpse into his office.
Oh, God.
He would. But no, we get Forze's first giant CGI monster next week.
Don't they normally say that for episode 2?
Yeah, Forze didn't have one.
Yeah, instead Forze went to space in episode 2.
And we do that again next week.
Oh boy.
So, yeah, I actually enjoyed this episode. Because I felt like it was actually doing something interesting.
You mean things happened?
Move the plot forward.
Well, things were happening in other episodes, too. It's just it all felt terribly cliche. This was actually showing what happens to a monster of the day after you leave him behind. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're not doing too hot.
No.
Or at least he wasn't.
I'd assume the rest of them are probably like that, too. I mean,
maybe we'll spend the whole...
He wasn't probably that good before the Zodiac switch.
Maybe we'll spend this whole 13-episode story arc, you know, revisiting all the past Zodiac monsters and see what happened to them. That would be perfect. Especially if it goes exactly in order of how they first appeared.
That would be unfortunate, I think.
And then the third story arc will be them taking up Zodiac power again. So it's just going to be the same 13 monsters over and over again until Forze is over.
So you know that budget?
Center, John?
You know that budget? So that's how they saved the budget to use the Powerizer.
Yeah. Yeah, only like a dozen monster suits for the whole series.
Well, that would explain why they're all in the movie again.
No, that was a
laughing
pretty...
so hard when this turns out to be true.
And then, like, the last 13 episodes turns out to be combiners for no reason.
Well, Forze does take after Energon Prime.
The last 13 episodes turns out to be Deno.
Oh, God.
I can see that happening, too. Except, no, because the Denliner doesn't travel through space.
Well, not yet, anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it could.
You just load it up onto the Powerizer and it launches it up.
No, to go into space, it would have to use the Super Train Megazord. They could just load the Denliner into the Super Train and, you know, shoot it over the city.
Japan, they're flying trains.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
That goes all the way back to a Headmaster's, at least. Probably earlier.
Yeah.
Galaxy Express, even.
Express 39, yeah.
God. Oh, that's probably why it's so popular, actually.
Yeah, it's
pretty awesome, so.
Yeah. Well, the movie, anyway. Didn't really like the second movie, though.
So, anyway.
Oh. Well, I think we finished with Forze, didn't we?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, then. I guess that means it's time for Gokaiger.
Yay!
Adenikuze!
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
Okay, so Ken, tell us about Gokaiger. Okay, I don't really care who does it, just somebody talk about Gokaiger.
Yeah, I don't think it'll turn out too well.
Never does.
XV, talk about Gokaiger.
Well, no, that doesn't work because I already told somebody to talk about Gokaiger.
All right, fine, I'll do it, even though I was wanting to do Geki, but whatever.
Well, you'll still do Geki Ranger. It's just like Paladin doing... It's like Paladin doing Not It Last 30 seconds later. You know, once you pawn it off onto somebody else, you can't... It doesn't come back to you. So there.
Okay, well, Gokaiger starts out with the crew basically doing nothing and wasting time. Blah, blah, blah. They're going shopping.
Yeah, because I'm hit everybody in the head.
So it covers the Zangek fleet, and Damaris is looking awesome out the view screen or window, whatever. But all of a sudden, the Rebel fleet hyperspace is in. Don't attack the Death Star.
I like how that in the process of bringing all those ships in, they destroyed every single other one around there except the Gigant Horse.
Well, they're just full of dump troops anyway. What's the big deal?
Yeah, apparently Actos does not f*** around.
Well, and you know, they have
a high price for failure in the Zangiac.
Well, and the thing too is that they probably had to lock in on the transponder of the ship that was already in position to jump out of hyperspace. So, just like, oops.
Also, okay, we already established the Emperor knows his kid's a screw up.
Yeah,
if you know your kid is a screw up, you don't let him. You don't give him the Ferrari. You give him the beater minivan. So,
yeah, but think about how much faster he would have died if he had the beater minivan Zord.
No, but I'm saying that, you know, all the troops he gave to Walt Skill.
Oh, okay.
They're probably the also-rans and rejects.
So they're the Ghost Agers?
Yes. He doesn't give a shit blowing them up in garbage anyway. That's why I gave them to him.
So they just blew up the Ghost Agers.
Well, but they're the... Plus, these are just the mooks. They're easily replaceable.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Emperor has, red mooks. They're better. Yeah. Probably three times faster, too.
After the theme song, we find out something new about the bridge to the giant horse ship. It's apparently there's a red carpet hidden behind it.
Well, you never know when you might have, a special visitor.
Yeah, there's an endless hallway on a red carpet right behind the wall.
You know, that's funny because you'd think they would just, use, you know, the door that's been over on the other side of the bridge since, the first episode. But
well,
no,
he's the Emperor. He doesn't use the door that the regular people use.
Yeah.
he has his special Emperor door.
Special Emperor.
I'll buy that.
Sure.
So, the Emperor commands the two generals to lock up Damaris for screwing up and killing his kid.
And then when Insarn tries to protest, they say, "F*** you, Secretary. Get back to your desk over there and make us some coffee."
Yeah.
By blowing her the fuck up.
But they let her live because nobody else knows how to fire the saddle lasers.
Yeah, plus she's not the one that that the Emperor had charged with keeping his son safe, so...
Right.
Yeah, she's just a deck officer. She's not a commander.
She's just a technical advisor, not the person not the person supposed to keep the son from killing himself, so...
She's the secretary.
But then the Emperor does something incredibly hilarious and drops a giant memorial photo out of the sky of the sun. Which I hope to God that stays there for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because he's the Emperor. He can do that shit.
Yeah, I like how he comes across like this total badass, but he still does this thing.
He's still a Gil.
Yeah.
Now we can see where Commander Nepotism got it from.
Yeah, don't you know who his father is?
They do now.
They will.
So the Emperor sends his grimace-colored fleet to attack the city. And,
don't forget about his two generals.
Yeah,
whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. So Zetsurug, one of the generals, comes down, and I'm unhappy to see him.
Unhappy.
Is one unhappy is code for
she wants blood.
Yeah, she kind of goes berserk.
And yeah, in this episode, it really shows, when they first revealed the Gokaiger characters, people were like, oh, she's just going to be just this whiny little princess and just a little girl, and they'll have to protect her the whole time. And this episode kind of really goes against that.
Yeah.
What I love about the scene is that when Iam sees him, she charges and morphs without even doing a roll call or announcement that she's going to attack. She just goes at it.
Yeah.
Again and again.
She breaks Sentai form by attacking without introducing herself.
Well, she's mad.
Very mad.
I know. That's really
No. When they're mad, they still will do a roll call.
No, she's mad.
Yeah.
She's homicidal.
And that's especially impressive of her because she's always so proper all the time.
And then she gets beaten back and then just charges again.
Well, she is the same color as the Energizer Bunny.
She keeps going and going.
And that, and her, stay back.
And then she, like, pulls them over.
I'm going.
I tell Joe and Guy are like, what the f*** are you doing?
Especially when Joe is like that. That's saying something.
Yeah.
And then finally I was, oh, well, maybe we should help her not die.
But they can't.
Nope. And Zatsurug runs away, leaving I'm...
Well, he runs off to get drunk.
Yeah. Because it's almost dark.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, Zatsurug has to run off because, hey, it's beer 30.
No, beer o'clock.
He has good priorities.
I always heard beer 30.
So back on the ship, the crew is moping because their ass is kicked, and Navi, proving that she's once again the smartest one, says, let's run away. Run to win.
And everybody else likes that idea a whole lot.
But they don't actually do anything like it because Navi.
I thought it was because I'm...
Well, I'm retreats to the crow's nest to have the most awesome flashback ever. We see her planet burning around her.
Yeah. Some good special effects there, actually.
Yeah.
And then we get to see her parents get murdered in front of her.
So she's Batman.
Basically, yes.
She's a little old for it, but yeah.
She's Batman, but pinker.
And on a side note, her parents look awesome. They look like f***ing playing cards.
For like a 5-second scene.
They're like a Japanese version of something from the Mystic Knights.
No, they look like a live-action Royal Flush Gang.
Yeah, yes. Actually.
Yeah, where did Toei pull these costumes out of?
I'm sure there's some playing card themed something that we never heard of that they have stuff left over from.
Or it was probably leftover costumes from some period drama or something.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, that's where old Doctor Who series got a lot of sets from.
Yeah, except these didn't look like Edo Japan costumes.
That's what I'm surprised they're just like Edo period emperors.
No, they're completely European.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those European Japanese kings.
Space European Japanese kings. Everything's funny when you add space onto it.
It's true.
Space Fort Max. Nope, not everything.
Space Dingo will eat your space, baby.
Okay, not everything.
Space. He's Space Australian.
But, you know, we do still have Space Titanus, which is awesome.
No, it's not actually hilarious. Called Space Titanus.
No, but it's more awesome when we do call it Space Titanus. See, that's how it works. When you add space onto it, it becomes more awesome. Silver Titanus is just stupid, but Space Titanus, that's awesome. Thank you.
So, of course, when everybody swears vengeance against someone who killed their family, the first thing they have to do is they have to run away in the middle of the night to handle themselves.
To suicide themselves, basically.
Yes. And whereas Marvel's was fine with Joe doing this, he takes issue with I'm doing it.
Well, I think he's pretty sure that I will actually die in the process of doing this, whereas Joe will just, you know, get beat half to death, but not actually die.
Until he actually kills Barry Zor.
Yeah, that's fine, though.
So, yeah. So, I'm's there in the dark, and the crew, you know, says, you know, we'll help you out. And then I'm's actress had some really good acting.
Yeah, that stood out to me.
It was pretty impressive.
Her crying looks really natural.
It's a very genuine scene.
Yeah.
And there's a flashback to when I first met the group.
Finally.
Somehow I'm surprised that she was the last addition. I kind of would have thought she'd be before Doc. But that's just because haven't had any backstory on
Doc joined at the same time.
No. They showed back in, way back when they did like Joe's origin, and they showed how everybody progressively joined. That was the right order.
Huh. Okay.
So, I'm's whole motivation for joining the team actually makes a lot of sense from a propaganda standpoint.
Yeah, it does.
Which kind of fits in with I'm's character of being very underhanded about everything.
Yeah.
While appearing all prim and proper.
That's politics.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why her character works so well.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's really great though that, you know, she's part of the Imperial family on her planet, and she actually does work the political angle a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Subtly.
This is an angle that will be completely be dropped for the American adaptation. They will never get the subtleties of that down.
Well, no.
I imagine there's a lot of fans that probably don't get the subtleties of that.
Not to mention this entire episode will never be adapted into the American.
Oh, yeah. Because it focuses on a girl.
Right.
No, they'll combine it in with a couple footage from this with a couple of movies.
And then throw a mega mode on somebody.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mega Pirate Rangers. With an eye patch on
Ultra
all the helmets.
Mega Pirate Rangers.
With eye patches over all the helmets.
They'll use all the footage up till I'm actually did something.
Yes. So basically, it'll just be all the footage of them getting blown back.
Yep.
Nice.
Then they'll forget about the monster.
Yeah.
So I'm whole plan is to get her face on a wanted poster to show the survivors of her planet that their leader is still trying to oppose the Empire. Which
it's pretty
actually isn't
awesome.
That bad a plan.
Yeah, it's kind of a do the most with what you've got sort of thing.
Yeah. If she can't do anything about it, she can at least be an inspiration.
Yeah. And then we get the montage of how ineffective she is as a pirate. Well, that kind of pays off everybody who figured that she would be, you know, useless throughout the
Terrible.
Whole series.
Yeah. It's like this entire episode is directed at those kind of people.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It also shows that she didn't start off being awesome for no reason. She earned it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that was later in the fight, but either way.
Well, whatever. It goes with the flashback thing.
But yes, and apparently Doc has a Keiko-matic somewhere back in his...
Actually, I think that was the washing machine exploding, but good reference for it, Max. Oh, Billy's first season inventions. I miss those.
But it does also show that and it does kind of make sense without a mediating factor in there that people like Marvelous and Joe would probably be at each other's throats early on.
Yeah.
Repeatedly, yeah. And even with all six of them together, they're not much of a match for this new Imperial Guard because they still get blown through a f***ing building.
And Marvelous gets, like, plastered into the wall.
Literally. With the wall broken up right behind where he hit.
That's because he's Marvelous. Forget Geki Red, Marvelous is the unbreakable body now.
So the crew pulls together and comes up with a distraction plan where
does it involve I'm dressing up in funny costumes again?
I'm sorry?
I asked if it involved I'm dressing up in costumes again. Cause, you
no,
know,
this
that
one involves a guy being a bullet sponge.
Oh, okay. Well, that works. That works too.
Hell, he's dead already. What does he care?
Well, he can just imagine himself well and it'll be fine.
I just like how they have this thought. Guy, do you think you can take a hit from that thing? Sure.
Let me just
sure, I wrote it that way.
Guy. So, Guy takes the hit in Gold Mode, and I'm gives the second most impressive final wave of the show. She lands right in front of the monster. Final wave's like point blank in the gut.
Yeah, awesome, twice. Awesome. She does it twice. Once with the sword, and then again with the gun.
Yeah.
And she does it just to take out one of his eyes.
Yeah, just the eye that was doing all the telekinesis and all of his power, basically.
Right. And then you get the one of the more awesome Gokai change sequences in the series with a bunch of I'm assists.
Yeah, like the famous partner rangers.
Yeah. And then finally female Red Ranger.
And the first time we've ever actually seen both Shink and Reds on screen at the same time.
And apparently there's two recognized improvs.
Yep.
Who would have guessed?
More than they had at the end of Shinkinger.
Either that or there is still just one and they did clever editing to make it look like... You know, like one of those was the bazooka mode, recognize Zanto prop, and they were just using clever camera angles to disguise the angle of the handle.
I'm sure they have multiples of all these props anyway. I would hope.
Yeah, you would think.
One sec.
He has to fast forward to the episode.
No, I'm trying to check something specifically here.
Oh, okay.
So we got Go On Wings, the Go Riders,
Deckmaster and Decka Swan
for some stupid reason. But yeah. Decka Ranger and Decka Master and Decka Swan definitely saved things after that.
Yeah, Luca and I could have picked a better pair of red and pink, I mean, pink and yellow Rangers.
Well, they certainly could have picked any worse.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. They could have picked a better pair.
Okay, so after the Gokai change, we get the Galleon Buster with I'm at the wheel, so to speak.
Because everyone just wanted to grab her ass.
Well, this is what I was checking. I'm checking the hand. I was trying to pause to check the hand arrangements. It looks like Luca, his hand, I can tell, is towards the lower part of I'm's back, maybe her butt. But the important thing is Marvelous is in the back, and he is not touching Luca's ass. He's got his hands on her shoulder because he knows better.
Yeah.
Or because she'll just let Luca get away with it.
But where does Guy have his hands?
Can't really tell.
See, that's the thing.
Doesn't matter because he lets go right away to do the pose.
See, I never thought about the fact that the red charge was just because the red key was in it.
Well, that's it's a gimmick of the Galleon Buster. It can tell the color of the key that's plugged into it.
Oh, can it?
Yeah.
As long as it's a Gokaiger key.
See, I wasn't sure about that because I know that, like, the Gokai Cellular, it doesn't matter what key you jam in it. So
that's because
sure
that's because it doesn't have the
teeth reader.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a better name for it than that, but yeah.
Teeth reader.
That's why the Gokai...
Yeah, the Boba Rates recognize the Gokaiger key's colors.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why the Gokai Cellular would be a better thing to have if you're only going to get, you know, the changer and not go after all the keys, because you can still get the basic sounds just with the Gokai Cellular alone.
Well, some of them.
Well, like I said, the basic sounds.
Yeah, like you can't get the Go On your sound, you just get Go On Wings.
Yeah, but that's the only one that matters anyway.
Yeah. And then you get Ghost at Night instead of Ghost Sager, so hey.
And yeah, that's exactly. Like a whole step up right there. But anyway.
So, after Pink Charge, we get a utterly pointless mecha battle.
Yeah.
Its purpose is served by trying to sell Kens and Gokaio some more.
And, of course, we end with the Muck Falcon Punch.
Yeah, that is one of the most afterthoughty of afterthought mecha battles.
Now, one thing that I do like about right after the Pink Charge, only Guy is posing.
Because Guy.
Guy's always posing.
Yeah.
He wrote it that way.
Well, you can tell that Guy is just being a ranger by how he always imagined it would be to be a ranger. Which is that it's all roll calls, posing, and, you know, hitting things.
Win quotes.
Yeah. I mean, it's the next step up from Shinken Gold's insistence on doing the victory clap after every battle.
Well, Shinken Gold, remember, he had to make sure he appeared at the right time. He had to make sure his entrance was just right. And then we just thought he was a little, you know, self-aware. Guy is just a whole other step up.
Yeah. Insertion.
And on that note, the episode ends with Guy and Marvelous wrestling.
Guy unable to breathe because Marvelous is choking him.
Well, because that would be Guy and Marvelous wrestling.
Yeah, because apparently what Marvelous wanted was not for I'm to leave, and he didn't want to admit that.
So Marvelous has to choke a bitch.
Yeah.
It's okay, though, because Guy will be just fine, because Guy's always just fine.
Guy's dead anyway, so.
It's entirely possible.
That's going to be hilarious when we turn out to be right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Well, I mean, it's kind of...
we've got it recorded of when we called it too.
The first time he appeared.
Yep. We've got proof we knew.
Yes.
I'm gonna be a little disappointed actually if he doesn't die at the end.
Nice.
I'll save that for the movie.
I like Guy and everything, but.
Well, and it's kind of the same way too that it's disappointing to have it confirmed that Scorpio Zodi Arts is the female teacher. Just because I've been expecting it for however many weeks, and you kind of hope, okay, that seemed pretty obvious at the time, so maybe they'll do something different and be better about it, but no.
And then next week, we have Domaros actually setting foot on Earth for once.
Next week we have Doc in a box.
Yeah, apparently Doc. It says apparently Doc is some
legendary hero.
Yeah,
the legendary hero Don DeGoyer.
Uh huh. And Bosco.
Okay.
Because why not?
I'm betting Bosco probably breaks Domaros out. Actually,
Bosco.
I think that legendary hero Doc is like some kind of reputation that he earned accidentally.
That would be great, wouldn't
it? Yeah, probably.
Like sort of a Janestown situation.
But hopefully, maybe, I guess we'll get maybe Doc's origin also.
No, probably not. They'll probably just go the whole series without ever explaining where he came from. It's like a running joke by this point. Navi should probably get an origin story before Doc does.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I think we did a Navi focus episode.
Yeah. Like a whole
late for that, I think.
A whole story from Navi's point of view.
And it will just be Navi about his adventures when he had left that one episode.
She.
Fort Max has
a take a trip to pick out a new Hawaiian shirt.
Fort Max has problems telling boys and girls apart.
Oh boy.
Yo, Bomper got a focus episode through the Net movies.
I don't remember.
He was like him with the guy arc.
Weird.
Well, it was Go-Onger.
Yeah.
I said weird, not awesome. Okay, so I guess we'll take a break and come back to Power Playback, which maybe we can go through that pretty quick.
Well, probably. We won't. Spoiler warning.
What?
Well, we won't.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not like you can understand half of it anyway, especially if you haven't seen the series.
And even if you have watched all of the series, you forgot the explanations from the first time anything appeared, so it still doesn't make any sense. Thank you, TV Nihon.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey, this is JD from Fanboy Versus. Join me, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely live every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, or download the podcast. We'll discuss the week's biggest comic news as well as review the current week's best issues. So tune in to Fanboy Versus right here on the TF Radio Network.
É o futuro que está vendo, Alpha. É o Ranger Preto.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
All right, it's time for Power Playback, which is, what did we call it last week? Retsu gets drunk and punches bitches?
Yes.
Episode 36 of Geki Ranger.
It's a fantastic episode.
Well, Retsu gets drunk and punches bitches. What could be wrong with that?
I wasn't sure what was going on beyond that.
Well, as I recall from when I first watched the episode, neither was I.
It seemed like it was like half clip show at some points.
So, the episode occurs right after Ken first gets Side-Eye-O, which he controls through the little sword dealy.
Sojuto.
Yes. So the episode opens up with the rest of the Geki Rangers saying, you know, maybe we should have that instead of you since you kind of suck.
Well, and because just recently he tried to sell it.
Oh, yeah. God.
Ken's kind of irresponsible.
See, kind of. Before Ken became Geki Chopper, he decided to go off for a while and be a world traveler, and to finance that, he sold off the Jukin artifact that he had been entrusted with at some point beforehand.
The Jukin artifact that protects their god. Oh, he sold it for like $100.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, he's kind of a terrible ranger.
That's Geki Chopper. He's a terrible ranger, as if the scruffy beard did not tip you off already.
Yeah.
Yeah, so while they're all sitting around having their ramen lunch, they're all like, hey, give me that thing. Especially John.
Yeah.
But he wants all the new toys, because he's red.
He's a tiger.
And dumb.
He's Mowgli.
Except he doesn't get an awesome song with Baloo.
But aww, he totally should have. That would have been great for an episode of Gekki Ranger.
I would like Gekki Ranger a lot more if I got to see Jan singing Bare Necessities.
Or so would I, now that I think about it. That'd be awesome.
Too bad one of the Kensei was not a bear. Because that would totally be a video editing project right there.
Well, we hit the bear Kenma.
That's not really the same, though. No,
well, they don't have a lot of scenes together, though, do they?
No. And, you know, the Kenma doesn't even really look like a bear that much.
Yeah.
If it had been one of the Kensei, it would have been very bear-looking.
So after they're done teasing Ken about the sword, they all go, where's Retsu? Why is Retsu not here? What's Retsu doing right now?
And Ken just proves how effective of a ranger he is. Because where did he look for Retsu?
Under the table.
You know, under Ron's shirt.
Of course, it must be down there.
So apparently,
you know, between this and him dressing as the kid's dead mother at Christmas.
What?
Oh, that's right. You weren't here for that, were you?
Apparently not.
You need to watch the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Which episode is that?
I forget. But in an episode not too far after this. Maybe 43, I don't know. But yeah, in one part he dresses up as a child's dead mother.
To cheer him up on Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wearing his mom's clothing.
And his beard.
And a wig.
Yeah, can't forget the wig and the skirt. He was in pumps too, wasn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it wouldn't be a complete outfit otherwise.
I'm a little horrified.
Yes, girl was working it.
You know, it's times like this I remember, I really love Gekki Ranger.
Gekki Ranger is like 75%, you know, straight serious, you know, kung fu drama.
And then
there's 25% is just really, what the hell are you smoking?
And this is one of those 25% episodes.
Wow. All right, so back to the summary.
Retsu, Ranger Blue. Apparently he's helping the perverted elephant move some shit around back at Elephant's house.
He's Elephant the Elephant, see him blow.
He's not Mr. Bucket. Balls do not pop out of his mouth. So, Elephant cautions Retsu, don't drop my shit. It's worth a lot of money. Immediately, Retsu Dick Van Dyke's the treasure chest open and drops a diamond worth 2 million yen or $2 million, I don't know.
Oh, don't forget Sharky's there, too.
Yeah, Sharky Chan is there, too. And I was getting the feeling he was kind of special.
That means exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, sort of a idiot savant, I guess.
Yeah. He's a shark.
I almost like the Masters in Jungle Fury better than him.
So, while they're sitting there admiring the diamond, three cat women show up in the rafters of a cabin that's one story tall, and some aren't noticed, and they use a fishing hook to steal the diamond, which...
Now, was the diamond, like, on a chain or something?
It was, like, in a little box or something, but still, like, how did they not notice them?
Well, like you said, Sharky's a little special. You know, Elephant's having too much, having him watch him blow and Retsu's dropping things. So it's like, not like they're having him a lot of time to look up and see people sneaking in on the roof 3 feet above their heads.
If you're in your living room and there's like three bitches in leather cat suits hanging from your ceiling, how do you not notice them?
Well, it's not that I don't notice them. It just
depends on what else is in your living room.
It's just that I've had them up there so long, I kind of forget about them. I'm sorry, what?
So what was next?
The roll call?
Oh, yeah, so, the pose with the sisters was really nice. And so was the reaction of the Masters in red and blue.
We've been hit!
So, we jump outside and Retsu starts to theme of the episode of Retsu beating up bitches.
But he's not drunk yet.
No, but it's a start.
Yeah. Give it time.
So, of course, Elephant thinks that the girls are there to have sex with him, basically.
Wow. Well, he is Elephant the Elephant.
Yeah. So they fight, and the girls eventually have enough, so they throw in smoke bombs, and Retsu stumbles backwards onto a cart full of pikes. Which, you know, that would make for a very bad day, but thankfully one of the cat women saves him.
Meanwhile, for some reason, there's just a cart full of pikes around.
Yeah.
Pointing straight up.
I blame Sharky.
That seems reasonable.
Then the girls Sailor Moon teleport away in a storm of rose petals.
Actually, they're probably cherry blossoms.
Well, whatever. Flowers are all about the same.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at the Rinjuken lair, Mele stumbles across the worst Rin Shi ever.
No wonder it stumbles across her.
Either way, he's terrible. And basically, he gets the mission that he's going to bribe his way to success. So he needs money. So he has to go steal something. And there enough, there's the bitches in the park with the diamond.
How convenient.
And the best part is, like, he's failed the entrance exams, like, 50 times.
100 times.
Wow. He's a terrible Rinrinchi.
Well, they're all different flavors of terrible.
Well, so he tries to pick a fight with the girls, and he grabs one of their tits, and then he looks up the skirt of another one, and then he gets his ass kicked a lot. Especially when Retsu comes in and Ryder kicks him off the screen.
Yeah, don't get in his way.
Kind of awesome.
Don't get in Retsu's way. He's got bitches to punch.
Well, and unfortunately, Retsu's not very bright because he does not realize that these are the bitches that just stole from him.
Yeah.
And apparently, elephants do forget because he didn't remember what they looked like either.
Well, they had masks on.
And I'm sure elephants are looking at different parts of them than their faces.
Well, then he should recognize them.
Exactly.
I don't
think
it's...
And then he says, oh, you found my diamond that just got stolen. Thank you.
By three women. And you happen to be three women.
What a coincidence.
At which point the women respond, thank goodness they're stupid.
Which is
can't fault them for being honest.
That pretty much sets the theme for the whole episode.
Yeah. Me, like a scratch, the team is still f***ing eating.
God almighty.
Well, it seems like the whole thing only takes place over the matter of about an hour or so.
Still.
Perhaps. It's just like, man, like, was the ramen not enough? And you can have, like, a meal?
A ramen doesn't take that long to eat.
Well, I can eat for about an hour.
Ramen?
Well, if it didn't give me terrible heartburn, yeah.
You get heartburn from soup? That's impressive.
Beat me.
It's like water and noodles.
Well, and, like, you know, 3 grams of pure sodium.
That's what everybody needs anyway.
And don't forget the MSG. That's there for flavor.
Wait, only 3 grams of sodium?
Well, I had the small ones.
So, to Sharky, Elephant, and Retsu, to show the girls appreciation, they take them out to a fancy lobster dinner.
Wait.
This makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, because elephants eat lobster all the time.
Sure.
It does make a little bit of sense for Sharky.
Yeah, he's a shark, but...
He's Jawsome.
Why?
Because
he's Jawsome, that's why.
Because more street sharks.
Why? Why would anyone ever... wake up and think, you know what we need? More street sharks.
Because it causes much pain.
Makes as much sense as the cowboys.
Oh, the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Yes. Oh, we're going to involve biker mice in this at some point?
Yes.
Weren't they doing a remake of Biker Mice at some point?
Good lord, why?
Oh god, I completely forgot about the Cowboys of Moo Mesa. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Why?
Meanwhile, back at dinner, the girls are trying to distract the boys to steal the diamond off the table, and it's not going too terribly well until one of them decides, I'm just going to flash my crotch at the elephant to see what happens.
So this cannot end well.
She just spreads them wide open and airs that shit out.
Yeah. Kid show.
And then they bring back the sake.
Also, kid show.
And then they get lit.
Kid show?
Not anymore.
So it's hilarious enough that they get drunk. But then, like, they put makeup on the costumes to make them look like they're blushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get blushing elephants and sharks, and
Sharky looks disturbing like that.
Yes.
Well, they're kind of disturbing to begin with.
Especially so.
And Retsu is very, very wasted.
Hence the title of the episode. Retsu gets drunk.
Well, hence our title of the episode.
Yeah, that's the title of the episode. Because I don't know what the original title of the episode was.
Well, it's not like it's translated anyway.
No, of course not.
Jan. So the girls smoke bomb away, and we cut to commercial. Back at Scratch, they're finally justifying why Ken gets to keep the side IOs, because that's the only Zord he has.
While reminding us, at this time, there's all these other ones you can buy, kids.
Well, it's only fair. I mean, everyone else gets two Zords, and Go gets, like, a whole three Zords set to himself.
Well, Go is different.
Don't they all have three Zords?
No.
They've got the three regular cat things, the three add-on beasts, the three super
beasts.
Oh, yeah,
there is the add-ons.
And then there's just the wolf.
Yeah, but Go gets Tiger and Jaguar himself now.
Well, because he's that good.
And I think Go can also call on any of the add-ons as needed, too.
Because he's that good.
Well, it wouldn't go that far.
It's something to do with his particular style of Geki Juken.
Well, it's kind of a dick move to try and take his only mecha.
Well, it's Ken's fault for not learning how to call upon, you know, his own Zord, like the others do.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to use the, you know, statue over there. With the controller that he tried to sell.
Yeah, I guess he does bring it upon himself.
So the girls steal the diamond, and Retsu finally catches on that, hey, these are the cat women from before.
No shit, Sherlock.
It only took being drunk to be clear-headed enough to realize that.
And what happens whenever you get a martial artist drunk? They instantly know Drunken Fist.
Yeah.
It's sad when you already know that's coming.
Well, no, but first, before he does that, he drinks more.
Yeah.
And well, yeah, that's to level up his Drunken Fist. Like, I could be this drunk at them right now, or I could drink a whole hell of a lot more and be really drunk at them.
And then once he sees that being drunk and punching these bitches is working great, he starts to drink pretend sake out of his, like, fingers. Because he's really lit now. And then he starts two-fisting bottles, just pouring the shit all over his face.
And kid show.
If he had told me that Retsu was going to turn to this when I first watched episode 1, I would have paid a lot more attention to him, I guess.
Well, to be fair, there's not a lot of Retsu to pay attention to at all up until this point. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, and then like, in this episode, he completely shines.
Yeah.
I'm like, pretty sure they didn't adapt anything close to this when they did Jungle Fury, right?
No. No. No, see, at first Retsu is just kind of there, and then when Go comes up, oh hey, Retsu is now Go's brother, so he's still being defined by another character. Yep. It's just at this point that he gets to have something to himself, which is to be a horrible drunk.
A horrible dancing drunk.
I would call that a horrible drunk, yes.
Yeah.
He's a horrible drunk that goes and beats on women in the kids show.
Then at some point here, we remember this is a Super Sentai show.
Yeah, eventually the terrible Rin Rin Shi shows up because he's managed to snap the diamond while no one was looking. And which animal was he? I don't even remember at this point.
It doesn't matter. He's just a terrible Rin Rin Shi.
Yeah.
What the animal he is won't make him any less terrible. Unless he's like an aardvark or something, that would be a little worse.
So, hilariously, he gives the diamond to Melee, and she rewards him by instantly making him big.
Accidentally. This is not Melee's day.
I love that they have to go straight to the mecha battle without even fighting the monster at all. They've been too busy with other stuff, real problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like all the actual Ranger stuff is an afterthought.
So Ken shows up with Side-Io.
Of course.
And
kind of loses his shit.
Yeah, he's having to prove himself that he deserves to command a god.
By defeating the worst Rinrenshi ever.
Yeah.
Not much proof, to be honest.
Well, Ken doesn't know it's the worst Rinrenshi.
This is true.
Look, you guys, I totally deserve the shotgun. Watch me take out this dog.
Saving that one. I think Ken's medicine is starting to kick in.
And I still think Geki Chopper is one of the stupidest morphers ever made.
What? No, his morpher is just the wrist morpher. This is his weapon that's dumb.
No, yeah. No, the weapon is the morpher. Ken can't use the wrist morphers. He just uses them to store the weapon morpher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his power is not compatible with the Geki changers for transformation.
It's like training wheels.
But the Geki changers have, like, a bag of holding in one of them. So you can just, like, store whatever. So he just wears them to carry that thing around with him.
Subspace.
Yeah.
His fisting hand is dumb, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, his fisting hand is dumb. Saving that
one.
It's
like that He-Man figure with the big karate choppy arm.
What, Fisto?
Yeah, that's him.
And hey, it's Fly Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never really goes away. He gets less obnoxious as the series goes on, because I think you just get used to him and you stop caring as much.
He has some funny moments.
I honestly still like him, to be honest.
I like the Japanese voice better than the Kelson Henderson voice.
Well, that goes without saying.
Because, you know, Kelson Henderson.
Yeah.
So, monster defeated. We cut back to everyone, and the girls apologize and leave, basically. And Retsu passes out drunk on one bitch's lap. Because he's had way too much, and he's probably going to regret it in the morning.
And the Side-Io fight is about 10 times more awesome than any of the Side-Io toys.
Yeah. That was a really terrible toy.
Well,
even
you know,
the American one.
The Japanese one was based around the whole gimmick thing, so you know, that was just its lot in life.
It happens.
Yep.
And then it turns out that the diamond was just glass all along.
Good job, Elephant.
To Melee's disappointment.
So, there you go. There's another insane-ass episode of Geki Ranger.
Is the whole series this insane?
No.
About 25% of it is. The other 75% is just kind of honest, earnest stuff.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, if it balances out a bit, I guess that helps it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's a very watchable series.
I'm quite enjoying it. I'm up to 41 now, I think, so.
It was the first Sentai series I watched in full.
I never really got past the first few episodes when I first tried it, because I did not like Jan that much.
Oh, that'd be me too.
I did not like him at first either, but as time, the more I watched, the more I began to like him. He becomes very endearing in his childlikeness.
Yeah, it's not like Ghost Ager, where the more you watch them, the more you want them to die in fire. You know.
Well, when he starts off by wrestling panda bears, that's not exactly a way to endear him to me.
No, Jan had a very terrible introduction as a character. He came off being very obnoxious at first.
Yeah.
But as time grows on, he becomes just more of an innocent, I guess.
I could see that, possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing was that early on in Geki Ranger, because I'm only got like 6-7 episodes into it, is that in addition to Jan being annoying, Retsu and Ron just are kind of there.
They are. They are terrible characters up until episode 25 or 26, I guess.
So basically everything up until halfway through the series.
Now Rio and Melee were good from the start.
Well, yeah.
Yes. The first 20 episodes is just basically the first arc of them fighting against Rio and Melee, building up to their first huge battle between them. And that builds really, really nicely. But basically, it's all about Jan and the two other characters there to give Jan context.
And you know, Jan the cat really that awesome runs
because he's portrayed against two incredibly lifeless characters, I guess.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But then there's Rio and Melee, so it's all fine.
Yes, Rio and Melee are fantastic characters. Especially Rio.
Yeah. Everybody digs Rio.
Because you're never quite clear on whether he's really evil or not.
Everybody loves Rio, especially Melee.
But probably not PETA.
No, probably not.
Well, PETA doesn't like anybody.
And we seriously need some Rio figure arts.
Well, in the meantime, there's the, you know,
I can see that happening.
There's a Jungle Fury figure in the meantime, which is basically the same size.
Well, I want
they
one.
They still call him an evil space alien?
Well, the later versions, like with the power armor, actually did end up calling him Daishi, so it was just that first figure that called him evil space alien. So, oops.
But they never made one of him in his Griffin form, right?
No. I think they were
planning awesome as a figure art.
I think they were planning to, and they were going to call that Battle Armor Daishi, but it got canceled. So that's what happened with that. You know, Lost Galaxy had a similar thing going on where the villain toys that came out in the first wave of toys were Captain Mutiny and Barbarax.
Yeah.
As Space Buccaneer and Space Android.
Probably from Space Australia.
Because, you know, at that point, there was nothing developed for those because they weren't being used in the show.
Yeah.
Good job. So, do we have something to watch next week? Because I kind of neglected to plan anything.
Again?
I've been doing Sentai and Rangers for a while now. Maybe something Kamen Rider-based.
Such as?
Hibiki.
No.
There are a bunch of Rider 1 and Sky Rider episodes done.
No, Hibiki's going on the pile with Metal Hero in that. No, just no. No.
So why not watch
it? We do
for
all
real?
Christmas episodes?
I am not sitting through a Power Rangers Christmas episode. Those things are horrible. They're like horrible beyond words. You know, the Zio Christmas special focused on the Bias Blaster.
Well, hey, there'll be a Samurai special special here soon.
You.
And it will be very special.
I'm sure.
On a very special Power Rangers Samurai.
Well, let's cover like a really old Kamen Rider, because we haven't done anything from that era.
What's available?
A good...
Like a quarter of the original series is sub by this point.
And almost half of Sky Rider.
You know, we have a handy list of what's been subbed.
Yeah, and the first post of that thread.
Wasn't that a good idea?
Yeah.
Let's
instead of randomly trying to remember, let's see. Kamen Rider.
Let me see what looks good.
X Amazon.
What's a series we know the least about? Let's cover one of those.
Black's almost completely subbed.
Yeah, but we know about that.
What about Stronger?
No, we know Black RX.
Sometimes it was Black.
sometimes it was Jay.
Yeah, sometimes it was Zio.
Zeto.
Sorry.
She got no love, though.
She never gets any love.
If only there was an episode of X with Starfish Hitler subbed.
No, there's only 6 episodes of X done.
Let's watch it raw.
Sure.
That would be hilarious. What else do we have?
How about Agito?
Well, the problem with Agito is that it's kind of like Kuga, where you have to get to it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So why not do the first 2 episodes, see if it's worth continuing?
Because I don't think the first 2 episodes are really a good representation of Agito.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing for Kuga. Kuga does not like pick up for a while.
They're both things you kind of have to take in large chunks.
Yeah. Like Kuga.
Oh, like your mom.
Yeah. Well, what do we have in Stronger?
Most of the series.
What are you giggling at?
This.
Oh, God.
Oh, my,
oh,
yes.
My, yes. That's that.
It's like he's making out with himself.
That's episode 21 is Stronger.
There we go. There we go.
So, does episode 21 also have Tackle in it?
I'd like to see an episode with Tackle. But I have no idea.
Fort Mac, do you have any idea about that?
I don't know. I haven't watched much of Stronger.
Hey, what do we keep you around for?
I have no idea.
Oh, God, that's kicking in.
What, Fort Max?
I'm a medicine.
Let's see. Let's see if I can figure out whether Tackle's there or not.
Okay, which episode?
What was that, 21? I know Tackle dies at some point, I just don't know where.
Yeah, that was kind of the entire point of her thing and
her movie, existence.
Right? Yeah. She's there to die.
Goodbye, Tackle, her last activity. I guess that would be the episode
Tackle's
where she dies.
21.
What?
Tackle's in 21.
Yeah, so that'll work. But yeah, you're right. That is the entire point of Tackle being in Decade Final Chapter. Because she died. And you know, it occurs to me there's been a dearth of your mom jokes. This week.
Yeah.
Well, she died.
Oh.
But there's no Darth of your mom.
No. Okay, well, I suppose that's the show for this week. Because we got to put out of its misery sometime. You know, we're coming up on the second anniversary of the show.
When is that?
Next month.
Oh, God. I like how enthusiastic you are about it.
Oh, it's just that sad realization of how long we've been doing this. Yeah,
At which anniversary does it stop becoming a celebration, more of like, oh my god, we're so sad?
I think for us, that was the first anniversary, you know, last January.
Oh, okay.
Or possibly, you know, the first week, the January before that.
The 0th anniversary?
That would mean this a week.
Yeah, the first show actually ran on January the 4th, so...
Oh god.
So it's really easy to keep track of when the anniversary is every time.
So is Kilby going to, like, mail us a cake?
No, email
us. No, because the cake is a lie.
Well, he mailed me a Cheerwine cake once. Wasn't that good. I think Cheerwine only works in, you know, liquid and donut form.
It certainly works in donut form. Those things were awesome.
I never got to try one. I blame you.
You'd be right.
Yeah, you could have put one on the side and brought it to Nashville with you one time. But no.
No, I could have, but I didn't. I ate them.
So anyway, that'll be our show for this week. Okay, so next week we're doing episode 21 of Stronger, and then, you know, if there's, like, news in the meantime. We still haven't heard anything more about the potential Denno movie, so maybe that'll be something.
Maybe it won't.
We'll find out.
I hope there's another Denno movie.
Maybe Samurai will do something even more terrible next week.
Like crossover with Denno?
When's the Christmas special?
Like
week after? isn't the Christmas special like the 17th or 18th? Fort Max?
I don't know.
Fat lot of good you've been this show, Fort Max.
Science.
Usually you're the one with all the useless information to share. What's the deal?
I'm sick.
Well...
I'm not sure that's a valid excuse compared to how you usually are.
Maybe it's a horrible brain virus.
So, Ken,
right now I'm imagining Fort Max just like sort of in a daze, half drooling, with an empty bottle of NyQuil next to him.
Well, that's how I imagine
Fort
Max
every
week.
Because he ran out of sake.
Okay, so Ken, I have a job for you if you go to BotCon.
Yeah. If I go to BotCon, I'm not sure yet. But yes, what?
Find Fort Max, take his picture.
Yeah, what he looked like.
Nope. Not a clue.
Well, you're still trying to pressure us to do a video thing eventually, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen. Because, like, I want to do that. I want to do that for the second anniversary show.
It's only a month away.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Fort Max, you have a webcam, right, in your laptop?
Yeah.
I know
I have
Mickey.
One on the laptop.
I know Mickey has a webcam, so it would just be a matter of getting Paladin equipment.
And making me use it, but that's another fight.
Yeah, well, I assume that we wouldn't be able to get you to go get a webcam if you weren't going to use it. So I.
You've done only on the other shows. There have been that sometimes when I'm tuned in when one of you is off screen but still on mic.
Yeah, but if possible, I'd like to get everybody on video for that one time. Because, you know. Otherwise, Paladin's just going to look, you know, stupid.
Tim Curry.
Paladin,
you can just dub that in.
Paladin, do you want to look like the loser on the show where we get to see what Fort Max looks like?
I don't think anyone will win in that scenario.
We could just like cut over Paladin's video feed with some Rocky Horror footage. Maybe some Muppet Treasure Island.
Well, no, see, that would be better than the show they're watching then.
But no, if we do the video show for the anniversary, we would do Shin Kamen Rider for the Power Playback that week.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
Because you want to have the reactions to that on video, I guess.
Yes.
Well, and that, and it's something Paladin really wants to do.
Ah.
So he wouldn't call out?
He would have to appear.
I figure, you know, dangling that over him makes it more likely he would play ball with the idea. Because otherwise we just won't ever do it at all.
I dangled over your mom so she'd play ball.
She died.
Yes, but we already talked about Elfun's ball.
Like balls pop out of his mouth?
No, that's Mr. Bucket. Elfun the elephant, see him blow. That's, you know, you have to watch Elfun blow.
And stretch out Sam's your wacky waiter.
Yeah.
Wacky, that's what we're calling it.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
And Wacker Wilson on the boardwalk.
Oh, Dino Thunder.
Thunder.
All right, that will be our show for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
So long.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Speaking of which, I want some sushi now. Every time I think of Nashville, I get a craving for sushi. Because, you know, Nashville smells like dead fish.
Especially after the flood.
I wonder if they ever reopened Opry Mills.
Spring of next year, they're saying.
Wow. That's taking longer than I expected. Of course, there's probably still inches of water in the IMAX.
Yeah. For reference, Opry Mills is a mall that flooded 2 years ago. And they still have not fixed it enough to reopen it yet.
Oh, God.
Well,
and it was a big mall. It was like the biggest one in the state.
Not really a priority then.
It was a big mall, but still nobody really cared about it that much. But
it was basically a tourist trap type mall.
Oh.
Well, they pretty much... Him. I mean, it's such a tourist trap that they kind of plowed over Opryland to build it.
God.
Yeah.
So,
hence the name.
Yeah. Yeah, they milled Opryland and built a mall with its remains.
Wow.
It's really nothing special.
Well, it's somewhat special because it's a terrible mall because it's all one level in a big donut shape.
It's not even a good donut because I don't think you can actually walk in a complete circle around it.
I've been in one like that before.
So there's no shortcut way to get to the other side of the mall. You have to walk all the way around, like almost a mile, to get to the other side of the mall.
Yeah.
See every store, so that way you might buy something.
Pretty much, yep. Yeah.
So Lord help you if you forgot to hit a store because you just walk up back.
Yeah, like I've been in a mall like that out in Texas once. It was interesting. We never went back.
They need to have, like, shuttle service inside the mall.
Or just cross streets.
Cross streets would be great. You know, just like some kind of causeway through the middle. So you could go directly to the other side without having to see everything in the, in the middle along the way.
Yeah, Upper Hill is also where we watched Revenge of the Fallen and went to that terrible Applebee's.
Well, the Applebee's wouldn't have been so... That wasn't an Applebee's, was it? That was
Was it Applebee's or a Charlie's, whatever, I mean...
No, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wouldn't have been so terrible if not for the 45-minute wait for a table. And then the extra 15 minutes wait while they got a table that was actually big enough for our party.
How big was the party?
Well, there was 5 of us, but they thought I said 2, even though there was 4 people standing behind me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So this is after we paid $15 to see Revenge of the Fallen.
Each.
Oh, you poor bastards.
But yeah, so we had to sit around in the courtyard deal there, waiting for the table the first time, and then when I said no, that was 5, not 2. See the difference between 5 and 2?
And 3 more.
Yeah, the difference between 5 and 2 is that I'm going to slap you with my whole hand instead of just 2 fingers.
And so right, then, you said that.
It would have been, but I never thought of it until just now. See, that's like what the ultimate version of the... That's what I should have said when you come back to it 2 years later.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.